Write it again. Share the word of God. My wife is also here in the back. Her name is Janet, and you'll probably meet her later on. You may have already met her, but it's such a privilege and honor to be here, and not only to share from God's word, but at the same time, just to be in one of my closest friends and prayer partners. Who have prayed with us. Andrew and Esther have prayed and supported us for a number of years in missions as we've been involved with Operation Mobilization. So it's a joy to be here, just to see them again and to be in this church. I want to share from God's word from Luke chapter 7. But prior to that, I want to say that my wife and I, for the past 8 years, we've been working in Sri Lanka. We go there twice a year, and we've been working in the northern part of Sri Lanka, in some of the remote villages, reaching out to the widows and single mothers. There was I'll share more about that, but first I'll share something from God's word, and then after that, towards the end, I'll show some pictures and share more about it. But it's been a real joy the last 8 years to be able to go back and forth, reaching out to these widows and helping them practically and showing the love of God to them in different ways, in providing clean, safe water, for drinking water, providing toilets, providing bicycles and things like that. So, these were widows and single mothers who have been neglected, forgotten. And God has given us this opportunity with local pastors, maybe about 6 or 7 of them, who are actually our eyes to show us who are the desperate ones we should be involved with in helping. So it's been a real blessing to work among these widows. And so I chose a passage on the widows this morning to share from. And the more I've been through this passage before, but I just rushed through it. But as I began to read it more, I seen the love of Jesus for the widow, the compassionate heart of Jesus. The older I grow, I come to realize how gracious our Lord is, how compassionate He is, how much He grace and forgiveness. He shows to us. And my early years of my Christian life, you know, it was really discipline and, you know, forsaking all and living the simple life and doing this and that and this and for Jesus. But more and more I see how God is so gracious, how loving, how compassionate He is. And so today, Luke chapter 7, I want to read from 11, verse 11 to 17, and just to give a background to this passage. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and His disciples and a large crowd went along with Him. As He approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, His heart went out to her, and He said, "Don't cry." Then He went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for those who have written your word and preserved it and given it to us today to learn more about who you are and to see what you did in people's lives. And Lord, we thank you for this passage, and as we look at it more, Father, speak to our own hearts, and maybe there's a lesson that we can learn from it. So Lord, guide my lips, and may you use all this for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So the previous passage to this passage that I read, we learned that Jesus did a miracle in Capernaum. You know, the servant of a centurion was very sick, and so the centurion sent some messengers to tell Jesus about this servant that he valued so much, and who was very ill and was about to die. So these messengers came and told Jesus about the servant of the centurion. And Jesus, from a distance, you know, saw their faith, and he probably said something to that effect of healing him. And so these messengers went back to the house, to the centurion's house, and said, "Well, we conveyed your message, and we told Jesus about how sick your servant is." And they found that the servant was healed. Jesus just had to say a word. He's all powerful, and the servant was healed. So from Capernaum, Jesus and his disciples and a large group of followers were approaching this town called Nain. It is about 10 to 15 miles walk from Capernaum. The town of Nain, as it said, lies on the top of a steep hill. So, you know, it's quite a climb. Here's Jesus and his disciples and a large group of followers going behind him. And so they climb up, and when they come to this town called Nain, they come across another group of people. Here is Jesus and his followers. They're probably cheerful and smiling and talking to each other, fellowshipping. They're probably tired, having climbed up the steep hill, and they come down, come up to the top, and they see another group of people coming out to the town gate. And it was a group of people, a big, large procession going behind this dead man who was in the coffin. People were carrying this coffin and walking out, and there were lots of people, lots of followers behind this coffin. And Jesus, from a distance, sees this, and he saw them grieving, mourning, he sees that And his heart is moved by seeing this. Probably this was an untimely death. The passage says this was the only son for this widow. And it's a young son who had died. And so the many town people in that town of Nain rallied behind this widow to give her the support and to encourage her. Right? It's a time of great pain and grief. In the Middle Eastern culture, when there's a death and a coffin is being carried, many hundreds of people, they jostle around and pushing and walking near the coffin. And here, being a widow already, she has lost her husband, the breadwinner of the family. In that culture at that time, women could not work, and the husband has passed away. And normally, when the husband has passed away, one of the sons in the family takes up the responsibility to do a job and to earn the income for the family, to look after the family. But if the son also dies, and if the widow has no one else, she is forced to beg. And in this case, the only son has died, and she has to take care of herself. Not sure whether she had any other children, any other daughters, but it says the only son. Her immediate concern was already she had lost her husband, the most beloved person in her life, has passed away, and now her only son has also passed away. How can she cope emotionally and physically? She's all alone, completely alone. Although at this funeral procession, there's a large crowd of people. Many are probably neighbors and friends. Some are even paid to come and mourn and cry at this funeral procession. So even though there's crowds of people around her, she's feeling that she's all alone at this time of grief. It seems like the whole world has fallen apart for her. Everything is just destroyed and shattered. There's no one to carry now the family name hereafter. Whom can she depend on for protection? Who is there to give her the money to prepare the next meal? Who is there to speak up for her? Who is there to pay the bills? All these probably questions she might have been asking. All sorts of questions going through her mind of this widow. By the way, Luke is the only gospel writer who writes this account, other than the other gospel writers. So only Luke has recorded this. About this widow. And it's interesting to see that Luke doesn't even give the name of this widow, but says a widow from Nain. So I just want to share a couple of points before I show some pictures. Firstly, God sees the needs of every individual heart. From this passage, what comes to me is that God sees the needs of every individual heart. You know, having climbed up the steep hill, Jesus may have been very tired, but he sees the funeral procession. He sees the pain, the tears, the grief, what this widow was going through. And he sees beyond the crowd, beyond the crowds around him, and beyond the crowds of the funeral procession, he looks at this widow grieving away, you know, weeping. And of all the people, his heart is moved just watching her. But Jesus, multitudes of crowds is not a barrier. He looks at the individual's heart. God's presence is everywhere. He knows everything. Psalm 139, many of you know. It's an amazing psalm. In verse 4, it says, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." In other words, in that chapter it says, "If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me." He knows our needs. We cannot escape from his presence. So we can be assured our Lord knows the needs of every individual. He knows every individual here, seated in this sanctuary. All the unspoken requests, he knows. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He's not in a faraway place living in a cave. But he is. His wisdom is mighty, and he knows everything about each and every person. So God sees the needs of every individual heart. And he sees the needs of this widow. He sees the needs. Second thought that comes to me is, when we go through pain, he too is hurting. When we go through pain in our hearts, when we are grieving, Jesus also grieves with us. You know, when Jesus arrived with his followers at this town of Nain, he could have easily bypassed the funeral procession and continued his journey. Or he could have said, "I want to rest. I've had a busy time. I want to rest." But in verse 13, it says, "When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, 'Don't cry. Don't cry.'" Isn't it a privilege to know the God of the Bible, whom we believe in, is a God who sympathizes with us and cares for us when we go through pain, when we are hurting? He's not far away from us, and he doesn't say, "I have no time for you." He wants to listen to us at any moment. And he has such a compassionate heart. When we are moved to tears, he says to us, "Don't cry." And he shows compassion and wants to comfort us. And he wipes away our tears when we are going through sorrow and pain. How thankful we are to know such a God. You know, other religions preach about good works continuously to cancel out sin, and they keep doing this and that to reach their gods. There's no grace or forgiveness. One lives in fear, not knowing whether what you're doing is accepted or not. There's no guarantee for the suffering that you have been through. And the pain that you're going through. There's no healing, nothing. So, but Jesus, whom we know, he comforts us. He shows compassion, and he comes beside you and says, "I'm with you. I know what you're going through. I want to comfort you." These words, "don't cry," my third point is this. Last point. These words, "don't cry," are comforting words to assure us, even if human love has departed from us, God's love has not departed from us. You know, even if nobody loves us, no human being loves us, there is God, there is Jesus Christ who loves us with all the affection. And he knows what you're going through. And he knows what this widow is going through. Those words, "don't cry," is also to assure the brokenhearted to say, "trust me, trust me, I'm with you." You know, he's telling this widow, "trust me, I have a solution for you. I want to bring comfort to you. I want to give you peace." A tremendous verse in Psalm 34 and verse 18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Amazing words. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He never leaves them. These words reminds me about Hannah, you know, who gave birth to Samuel. And Elkanah, as you know, Elkanah had two wives. Hannah is one of the wives who did not have children, but Penina had children. But the Lord closed Hannah's womb from having children, and Hannah was downhearted, kept weeping in the temple, and kept pouring out to God to give her a son. In the meantime, Penina kept provoking her and irritating Hannah. This made Hannah feel even more bad. Eventually, God opened Hannah's womb, and she conceived and had a son called Samuel. God heard her prayers. God saw how she was hurting, saw her pain, saw her tears, and he answered the prayers of Hannah. We all know from this passage, God touched that coffin. Jesus touched that coffin, and this young man was raised, and he got up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. It's amazing to study this passage and to see the compassion of Jesus. Of all the people there, he zeroes on this widow and brings a solution to her and comforts her, encourages her by giving her the son back. And this incident spread all throughout the surrounding areas, Judea and everywhere, what Jesus did. Because there were large crowds everywhere, and it touched many people. Everybody was in awe and praise to the Father. Let's see some pictures of Sri Lanka. Mark, let's go. Let's put these pictures. Depending on the time, I want to share some pictures here. So where the red circle is up in the north, that's where Janet and I have been serving. The northern part, the green part, is where most of the Hindus in Sri Lanka live. Sri Lanka is about 22 million people. 70% are Buddhists, and about 12% are Hindus. Most of the Buddhists live in the other provinces, below the green province on the top. All the Buddhists live mostly in the southern part, central part. So the part where the red circle is, that's where we've been going to. The airport is somewhere here.
Colombo, that's the capital of the red circle, and then
we take a bus that takes about seven hours to go up there. So it's about 8 years ago God led us to this place. Christian leaders said to us in the capital of Sri Lanka, in Colombo, there is this group, the unreached people group called the War Widows up in the north, whose husbands died during a civil war. And the civil war came to an end in 2009. And during the final days of war, thousands of people were massacred to death. And that left behind a lot of these widows and single mothers who live in remote rural villages. Let's go to the next picture. So it's amazing. When we first went, we thought we can just provide cows and chickens and goats and help these widows. The thought was that they can perhaps sell the milk from the cows and the goats, or the sell the eggs from the chickens and earn a living from it by selling in the villages, in the community. But more we talk to people, I didn't realize that people are desperately in need of safe, clean drinking water. So this is a local company helping us to drill a tube well. Normally you have to drill 150 to 200 feet to strike clean water. And so this is one company that is doing this. Actually, this is done in the back in one of the church compounds because they didn't have water. So we decided to do this for this church. Let's go to the next picture, Mark. And we provided water for this single mother whose husband left her away about 15 years ago. She has five children, and she lives just opposite the church. And it was a big project for us. We had to put a pipe connecting from the pump that went underneath some dirt roads, and to provide this clean drinking water for her. And so we have done about 26 of these tube wells in the last 8 years. And it's been a real blessing to help people. Otherwise, most of these widows and single mothers, they walk a long distance carrying empty buckets to find the nearest place to get good, clean drinking water. And then they carry it back. And so it's always hard to see that. So the local pastors show us who are these people who need water. Drinking water. There's a story behind this lady, but no time for that. Let's go to the next picture. This was one of our first projects. The lady standing in between Janet and myself. You know, when we first met her 8 years ago, she said her age was 60 years of age. Now she tells us 3 months ago when we saw her in October, her age is 80 years. She's probably about 80 years. She's confused. She doesn't know what her age is. And she had five children. They died in the war. There's no family members to look after her. And she had a problem. When the pastor took us the first time to see this, to meet her, as I walk inside this shed, in this shack, there was a strong wind, and the roof was just bang, 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 bang. I thought it was just going to blow off. And then she told us, in the night, the snakes come in. And at night, sometimes the wild elephants come in the backyard and to eat the jackfruit. And she's very scared. And so She was sharing all this, and while walking out, the pastor's uncle, they all call me uncle, these pastors, maybe because I'm older to them, and says, "Uncle, can you please do something for this woman, for this lady, help her out?" And as we are walking out to the vehicle, and I say, "Lord, you brought us here to provide cows and goats and chickens, sewing machines, things like that. But renovating houses, that was never in my mind. Even tube wells, drinking water was never in my mind." And God began to just nudge my heart and say, "You know, look, I brought you here to show the love of Christ to these people. And I want you to do something." And so this was one of our first projects. We put a concrete wall on the side. We raised it. And we made the roof strong. So the concrete wall stops snakes from going in at night. And those yellow bags you see front of her, this old lady, is each time we go and visit widows and single mothers, we give them packets of food, dry rations, milk powder, tea packets, rice, sugar, lentils, biscuits, cooking oil, all that is all in there. Probably can last for maybe a couple of weeks. But these are small ways to show the love of God. She has been going to church from whenever she can. Church is about 10 minutes walk for her. But this was our first project. We try to see her almost every time we go to Sri Lanka. Let's go to the next page. This lady on the left here with her two children, she fought in the war. Unfortunately, one of the bullets went into her stomach, and it ripped her intestines, and they had to put a major surgery. She was involved in a major surgery. They were able to take the bullet out, but they had to put some goat's intestines stitched with hers. And every month or so, she has to go for checkups to the doctor. But she came to know the Lord, and she has opened a house for prayer meetings, weekly prayer meetings. And it was a blessing to meet her and to see how God is working in her life. Next picture, please. This is one of the first. 2 years ago, we gave these bicycles. This lady with the yellow, called a sari, yellow dress. She came 17 kilometers. When she met us about 2.5 years ago, she was weeping and said, "Please give me a bicycle. I want to take my grandson to school in this bicycle. I need the bicycle to go to the store to buy groceries, this and that." So usually all these places are far away. And so somehow she was in my mind for a long time. And so these were some of the first two bikes we got. And we gave this bicycle to her. She biked back to her home, 17 kilometers. Really thankful for what we have given her. Next picture, please. These two ladies, we met them last time in October. Oh, it was really heartbreaking to meet them. They are two sisters. The eldest is the one in the background. The youngest is Elizabeth. She's 75. The eldest is 78. And the eldest is her poor eyesight. She can't see clearly. She has to feel the wall and walk around. And Elizabeth, the younger one, she's the one who goes. They don't have water. They don't have electricity. They have a toilet, but they don't have water. So she takes empty plastic bottles to a nearest place to collect water and then bring back. And she can't carry heavy buckets because she has got pain in her stomach. And so they don't have electricity. So it was very sad. They've been going to church the last 6 months, and to meet them was quite moving. So we have now wired our house, and we are hoping that somehow we'll be able to connect their house to electricity, to some current. So when we go through to Sri Lanka, we go through Singapore. A donor in Singapore gave me someone whom we have known for 15 years, gave us 15 what's called solar-powered flashlights. And so we were able to give one of these solar-powered flashlights to these women. It was such a joy for me to do that, to give it to them. And they said, they tell me, the local pastor told me, "Uncle, they're using your flashlight to cook, because at night you can't see." And I took these flashlights mainly because in the bushes, going to these shacks, to these homes, you go through narrow footpaths, and either side there is big bushes, and there are snakes, and I don't want them to be bitten by these snakes. So that's another reason to take these flashlights. So next picture, please. This lady here in the green dress, that's three children she has. Another sad case. Her husband was in prison. He escaped from prison. He was a horrible husband, would always abuse her, beat her up. And he escaped from prison. And he came, and we asked her, "Why is your leg in plaster?" So when he escaped from prison and came, he wanted to sleep with her. And she refused. Because she refused, he beat her up so badly and broke her leg. And so that's why she's in plaster. But now, saw a picture lately, a few days ago, that plaster has been removed. But the police has been informed about all this. No one takes any serious, it's not a serious matter for the police. You pay a little bit money to the police and you get away. But the man is on the run, her husband, never seen again. Next picture, please. This lady in the middle with crutches is, I don't know whether you can see it. This was the team we took in October, last October. During the war, they planted a lot of landmines everywhere. And this young lady accidentally about 10 years ago stepped on a landmine and one of her legs blew off. And, so for 10 years, she's been using a squatting toilet. And Mark, let's go to the next picture. And so when I heard about this, man, we had to do something about it. How can, with one leg, use a squatting toilet for all these years? And so we decided to put a Western toilet. So in the last trip, we were able to do this. Next picture, please. And this lady in the middle, behind her is a toilet that we constructed. She has five daughters. The daughters in the mornings or during the day, they want to use a toilet. They go and ask. They don't have a toilet. So they have to go and ask different people, neighbors. Some will say yes, some will say no. Some will say, "We have to use it first. Only then you can use our toilet." So we decided to do a toilet for her. One day, her husband, he was alcoholic. He one day took the kerosene lamp and threw it at her. And her clothes caught fire. Her hands were burnt. And she's much better now. And so we did this toilet. And now the daughters feel much better that they don't have to go and ask people, can they use the toilet? Let's see if there's another picture I want to show. These are the toilets we built. We've done about 10 of them so far. Let's go to the next one. This is another sad story, but I'll go on to the next one, please. It's a theme. Next story, next picture. This lady here, she's smiling, seated on the chair. She has two boys, and 12, eldest is 12 years. The second one is 6 years. And the mother is seated, standing next to her, the green dress, and her sister is in the back. And so, even though she is smiling, unfortunately, about when she gave birth to a second son 6 years ago, something happened in the hospital in that birthing process. Ever since then, she's mentally unstable. Physically, they have to feed her with food every day, just liquid diets. She's on diapers. She cannot speak, even though she's smiling there. That's how she is. And it was very sad. And the pastor told me, Uncle, when she was in church as a young person, she was a very pretty lady. So sad to see her like this. So the mother and the sister provide 24/7 care for her. But the brightest thing is these two boys are going to Sunday school, her two boys. And that is wonderful. And they didn't have water, so they were getting water from with a long hose pipe going to the back yard to the neighbor, one of the neighbor's house. So we provided the tube well. Next picture, Ma. So this is the water have provided. Let me see whether I can show one more picture. Yeah, this one, that's the shack that she lives in. We met her about a year ago, and 1 year ago in March. And when I met her, I felt very sad for her. She didn't have a toilet. She goes to the nearby jungle for sanitary purpose. And she said, she was telling me a story, and she's somebody who likes to talk and talk and talk. And so she told me that how one night, she has four daughters. Out of the four daughters, none of them come and visit except one of them sometimes comes and sees her. She cared for her husband after he came from hospital, but about 4 years ago he died. So she's alone. And so she said, Uncle, she said, one night there was a thief who came and who just snatched her two earrings. It's a lonely place. It's all dark. And as she was relating this story to me, I myself was having goosebumps. And man, what must have gone through her mind? And how fearful she must have been. And she said how he snatched her. But the good thing was he did not rape her. And that was, I praise God for that. But so we actually made a toilet for her. Now it was completed on our last trip in October. And I think I'll stop there. And she goes to church. She goes there mostly every Sunday. I see her in church. So these are the ones, people that we are trying to reach out to. The widows, the single mothers, giving them a sense of dignity, a sense of care. They've been forgotten, overlooked. The government never does anything for them. No one official has ever gone to these villages and heard their story or their suffering, what they have been through, and say, how can we help you? None of them. You want to come and say that Jesus is there for you. And we thank God for those who have accepted him. And only eternity will reveal the full results of what we are. Compared to the needs, what we are doing, it's just a drop in the bucket. I wish we can do more. But that's why we go twice a year and do whatever we can for the love of God. Okay. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you again for the opportunities you have given us in Sri Lanka. Thank you for the ones that we have met and been able to minister to. Father, we pray that you'll continue to do a deep work in their hearts. And Lord, I pray for our next trip next month as we take 5 others with us. Go before us, Lord, and give us protection. Use us for your glory. Help us to be channels of blessing as we meet such people as these widows and single mothers. We commit our time in Sri Lanka to you, Lord. Thank you again for Parkrest and for their prayers and their partnership and for the way you have used this church in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.